Today's scripture, we are continuing our walk through the Gospel of Mark. We are in Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord. We're getting into Halloween season, we're getting into holiday season, and I can't help but remember the candy dish. Grandma always had a good old candy dish right on the coffee table. In normal times, you might find it filled with Tootsie Rolls, or in the summer months, a little something more fruity, some Starburst. When we got to Christmas, this irresistible dish had Hershey's Kisses with the holiday colors, maybe some M&Ms with the holiday colors. Again, as a kid, there was nothing better than the candy dish. When it came to Halloween, though, this irresistible dish had candy corn. It's irresistible, okay? I would go in, I would open it up, I would take a bite, and remember that I absolutely hate candy corn. But you can't. You have to taste it. It's in the dish. It's irresistible. I don't care if it was the very next day that I went to Grandma's house, I would open the dish, still candy corn, and take a bite because it's irresistible. It's the dish. That's what I was trained to do, right? Irresistible. That's the word we're talking about today, because I think the word repent is irresistible. That may come to a shock, because when we think of repent or repentance, we might think of maybe Lent, right? A time in the church when we're penitent, where we repent, where we are going back to God, we're spending time with God, we might say. Or maybe some of us were Catholic. And so for that, comes to mind confession, right? A time where we are confessing and repenting, we're returning to the Lord. In the Protestant tradition and in the history of this country, we have the preacher standing up, yelling to repent, to turn to God. And in that scenario, which is very much our tradition coming from the American Baptist and United Methodist churches, the preachers out there leading revivals, telling people you're awful sinners and needing of repentance. Because God is coming, and coming soon. And if you don't, you're in trouble. God's going to smite you, right? We have a very famous homily preaching moment of a sinner in the hands of an angry God. But repentance in that kind of understanding reminds me of get out of jail free card. I grew up playing board games, okay? I didn't care which family I was at. We always played board games. Monopoly was one of them. And if you got to go to jail early in the game, devastating. Everybody else is going around the board, right? They're getting the properties. They're buying stuff up. And what are you doing? Hoping you can row three doubles, right? So after seven times of being in jail because you don't have a get out of jail free card, you're now missing out. You've been left behind. Oh, but thank God if you had a get-out-of-jail-free card. And then the hope was to land on free parking. I don't know how you all do it, but we did it. Free parking, you got the stash of cash in the middle. So that was the goal. It wasn't just a safe spot. It was a moneymaker. But again, that's what repentance is? I don't think so. I don't think that's how the Gospel of Mark even uses that word. Repentance seems so much bigger. Repent seems like an irresistible word. Last week, we talked about the flocks of people the masses of people that are coming out into the wilderness, coming out to the Jordan to hear John preaching. And what is he preaching? What's his message? Repent. And they're coming like a kid to a candy dish. And we see why. Jesus himself participates in this action. He enters the waters. Last week we said it is what God is doing is God is doing something new. Now that sounds something irresistible. That sounds like something I want to be a part of. God doing something new. And we see it play out in Jesus' very life in the desert. But then as soon as he gets out, where does our scripture pick up? He comes out of the desert. John is out of the picture. He's now in prison for shooting off his mouth, telling people to repent that had more power than him. And guess what? Now Jesus is out there doing the same. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. That is the message that Jesus is bringing wherever he goes. Everywhere he goes, this is the message. And we hear more and more people, just like with John, are beginning to amass around Jesus. This message is irresistible. Because it isn't just saying that God is doing something new, but in this moment, Jesus is saying, and you're invited to participate. God is doing something new. Come see, come play. Come be a part of it. And we get to see how this works out very practically in the gospel itself. We don't have to wonder what repentance looks like because we have Simon and Andrew and James and John. Jesus goes by the Sea of Galilee with the same message. And from there, we get told, follow me. This is a message that we are sure that they have heard. This is not the first time they're meeting Jesus. And although we would like to say that they're very bad fishermen, right? Because they haven't caught anything all night. That's from another gospel. And so, you know, throw out your net to the other side. I promise you'll catch something. And the miracle of the fish comes, right? So many fish, it nearly weighs down the boat. But I'll be honest, we were pretty sure where Peter lived. So much so, we put a church on it. There's literally a place you can now go where as you are worshiping, you look down into the floor and there's Peter's house. You can still see it today. And it's not a mansion, but I wouldn't call it a shed either. You know what I mean? This is a life that Simon Peter, Andrew, John, and James, they know what's going to happen. They're part of the family business, right? John and James are still out there with their father Zebedee when Jesus calls them. If they want to know what their future looks like, if they want to know what the future holds for them, they go, hey, Dad. And they look and they see. There's a lot of farmers in our community. A lot of farmers that have worked the land with their fathers. Right? It doesn't mean that you know exactly what tomorrow's going to bring, but you have a pretty good idea what the future holds. You can guess, right? So when Jesus comes along and he looks at the fishermen and goes, come on, God's doing something new. Let's go. They're giving up a lot. They're giving up their own ideas of the future and their plans. They're giving up the safety of what they know, what their family knows, to follow Jesus. They're putting a lot of trust in God's grace for their future. But they're going to listen to the voice. They're going to listen to the one who calls them. That's what repentance looks like. That's what it means to repent. Repentance isn't just a word, it's a verb. It's something we do, and we get to see them do that. And let's be clear, it's not just a future of, hey, I kind of have an idea of how my life is going to play out, that they're giving up. Jesus says, I will make you fisher of people. Oh, well, that solves it. I know exactly what I'm getting into now. My future is going to play out this way. No, it's scary, much like any change is. And we see their fears play out in real time. Trust me, as we go through these gospel, this gospel of Mark, we will see their fears play out. But again, this irresistible word, this verb that is to repent, is not a one and done. They're going to have to choose to follow Jesus every day, even in the scary times, even in the good times. And that's what's so powerful about this portrayal of repent. We get to see it play out. We don't have to guess what it'll look like in our lives. We've got people who are living it now, right? In the story. But we also see the people who reject it. As we read the Gospels, we're going to get to see the people who do not want God to do something new. They don't. They're the people that have lived experience that tells them change doesn't always go well. Change is a part of life, that we know. I could tell you that right off the bat. When I look back at my life, I see me moving out to Las Vegas with my mom passing away, my grandmother taking me in and bringing us back to the Chicagoland area, her passing away, me moving in with a family, that family then taking in our great-grandmother, building the house. By the time that's done, well, I'm off to college, moving in, getting my own place, isn't that great? Then realizing you need a roommate, so that changes things again. Once you get the roommate and college is done, well, the plans of being a teacher are over. You're now going to be a pastor. Oh, you've met your wife. You're going to live a life that way. Oh, and there's how many kids? 1, 2, 3, counting on 4 now. You know how this goes. You've all lived enough life to know that there's no settling. Just when you think your feet are on solid ground, something changes because we're moving forward, right? And that's not always stable. That's not always safe. Sometimes there's risks. Sometimes it's scary. And so we can understand why these people are going, no. We don't want God to do something new. We want to do what God did before. We want to go back to the time of David. Do something like that again. Let's do a repeat. Let's do a rerun. Let's have that good time. We were pretty well off during that time. Remember, there's the story of everybody had food and everybody had a house. That was some good times. Let's go back to that. And let's be honest. The people who are saying this, they're me. They're the religious leaders. They're the people who are going, no, nothing new. Let's make it great again. Let's go back. And God's going, sorry, we're going forward. We're doing something new. We got to do something new. Because where we were, that led to reruns, which led to redos, which led to death. Spoiler alert, the kingdom of David didn't end well. The city of David fell. We don't want to be on that trajectory. We want to do something new. And we see that. We see that with Jesus in the desert, that God is doing something new. And the people who are flocking to Jesus, who are hearing this word of repent, are hearing an invitation to do something new, to participate in something new. And yes, that's going to mean the scariness of not knowing what tomorrow brings or what 10 years from now is going to bring. That means maybe giving up the future plans we always thought we had, right? And we can't just say it's for the young disciples because we hear Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, people who are well-established, well into their life, participating in this life, answering this call, repenting, and following Jesus. So, the message of this scripture today leads us in a very specific spot. Are we going to answer the invitation? And if we do, or if we have, we got to do it again. Because remember, repentance, to repent is not a one and done. And that's going to be scary, right? As a church, I guarantee you, we think of all the good days we had. We can think of when the place was hopping and booming and doing great, and we want to do all those things that make us feel good. If there's one thing we millennials know, it's nostalgia. We love some good nostalgia, right? But the truth is, we got to do something new. And sometimes that means being scared. That means hearing and listening to the voice of God and going out and stepping out in faith, not knowing where that's going to lead. So we got to do things new. Doesn't mean Jesus throws away the baby with the bathwater, right? We see him continuing the story, but taking it somewhere new. So we as a church have to be open to God's spirit, God's leading. Even if it feels like God is leading us into a desert, we understand that God is still there with us and will lead us through. As people, just as individuals, we have to open ourselves up to new possibilities. We have to try new things. We have to allow ourselves to be people who are the people who identify with repentance. It has to be irresistible to us. We have to be willing to let everything go to experience something new, new life, a new way of doing things. My mom reminded me not too long ago that I was such a picky eater. Not a word in the back row. But again, she goes, you know, when you started going to church, you started eating new foods. Did you realize that? I said, no. She goes, do you remember when you tried cactus? I was like, yeah. She goes, how did it taste? I was like, okay. She's like, you would have never tried cactus before. Right? We open ourselves up to new possibilities. We open ourselves up to new experiences. We even open ourselves up to being in new relationships, reaching out to maybe people we never would have, because the Spirit is guiding us to do so. And of course, that's scary because relationships and new experiences can come with a cost. They can hurt. But just like with the disciples, it's irresistible, this way, this life. And so we follow God wherever that voice may lead. So today, we get the choice. For those of us who've been in the Bible study, we're back at the tree, right? Are we going to be the people of irresistible repentance? Are we going to be the people that can't help ourselves but choose to follow God? Or are we going to be the people who stay put, who like things the way they are? Are we going to try something new, or are we going to be the people who say, I want to go back to the way things were? That's what repent for the kingdom of God has come near. That's the invitation of Jesus. That's the invitation we get today. Amen? Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, King of kings, Lord of lords, we give you honor and thanks for who you are, because you have sent your Son, who declares to us, who invites us into the good news that you are doing something new in the world and that we get to participate with you. That we get to join you in this new thing that you are doing. Lord, give us the strength, give us the boldness to participate with you. Give us the strength and the boldness to be a repentant people. Give us new eyes to see this word, which is marred down with scary imagery. And let us see it as irresistible, like grandma's candy dish. That no matter the cost, we are willing to follow you because it is worth following you. That we recognize that you are the life. That in your way, we get to see the world for what it is, whose it is. And that there is a beautiful way that we get to participate with you in what you are doing. Lord, don't let the past shackle us. Don't let our hurts, our pain, our fears shape our decisions for now and in the future, but allow your grace to lead us. Father, give us your very spirit that we may be guided by you, that we may listen to your voice wherever it may call us. Because you will be there with us. Good Father, we pray this in your name and in the name of your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.